Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Greetings in Jesus' name. Last week, we brought you part one of a message titled Better Than Worry. Today, we want to bring you the conclusion of that message. But first, let's get to some great music from our friends, Phillips, Craig, and Dean. The title of this song is Because I'm Forgiven.
There's a reason why I bring you this simple offering, pouring out my love to you. Though my heart cannot express all this joy and gratefulness, still I sing this song of love and thanks and praise.
As promised, this is part two, the conclusion of a message preached in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church titled Better Than Worry.
Your strongest immune system is when you are not afraid. You need to wake up every morning and say, if God takes me on today, if I get sick and die of coronavirus today, I get to be in the presence of God tonight. Why do I need to fear? Bible verses about replacing worry with God's peace. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Again, for clarity's sake, for some that may not be believers that may watch this live stream, I'm reading from the New International Version. Please follow along with the King James Version. Colossians 3 and 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. You know what the greatest antidote to bitterness is? Gratitude. Have an attitude of gratitude. Just be thankful. So many times, the brokenness of humanity is displayed in the fact that we focus on who got sick instead of who's still well. We focus on who left instead of who's still here. We focus on what we want and don't have instead of being thankful for what we do have. Just be thankful. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen. I want to bring you some more Bible verses for those who are feeling anxious. But first, a quote from George Herbert. 100 load of worry will not pay an ounce of debt. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. I read for you already in our text tonight, 1 Peter 5:7 from the New International Version says, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I just want to stand here tonight and tell you, flat-footed and square-shouldered, in the midst of a world that has lost its mind, let them look on you and say, how is it that you are so calm, so confident, so peaceful, so trusting? And let them, when the question comes, be answered by this: it's because the peace of God has been given to me by Jesus Christ. And so I want to preach to you, worry goes away when we focus on him. Worry goes away when we turn our eyes upon Jesus. When we keep our focus where it needs to be, on Jesus, worry has a tendency to melt away. Before I read some more Bible verses, another quote, this one from Max Lucado, famous author. No one can pray and worry at the same time. Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Look at your neighbor and tell them, fear hinders. Look at another neighbor and tell them, anxiety hinders. Look at both of them and say, we're supposed to throw off everything that hinders. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. To anyone watching tonight and you're filled with fear and you can't throw it off, I challenge you to examine your heart and look at your life. And when you do, ask God to help you look at your life, because your own heart will trick you. Your own heart will deceive you. Your heart will tell you you've got nothing to repent of when you do have sin you need to repent of. But if you can't rid yourself of fear, look for the root cause, sin. And if you have the root cause of sin in your life, then repent of your sin. And then you can turn to God for water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And you can find a life free from fear. Hear me tonight. You are looking at a preacher who is not afraid of coronavirus.
In case you've just joined us, you're listening to Voice of Truth. I'm Pastor Doug Joseph.
You are looking at a preacher tonight who is not afraid of where the next meal is going to come from. You can have that same fearlessness if you turn to God. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Folks, that's the secret to a worry-free life, is keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Praise God. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Psalm 23 and verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Folks, you can read that into your own life right now. Yea, though I walk through the valley of coronavirus, I will fear no evil. Why? Because my eyes are fixed on Jesus and he is walking with me. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Or if I were to put it another way tonight, I will not fear what a virus can do to me. If I was to put it another way, it would be, I will not fear what a devastated economy can do to me. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3, verses about the Redeemer of Israel. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I just want to pause right now and give him thanks for every goodness he has shown to us. Let's rise to our feet and give a great shout of praise to our Lord, our Redeemer, our Savior. Oh God, we praise you. Hallelujah. What first world problems we have. I don't have to worry about getting enough to eat. I have to worry about eating too much and getting fat. What first world problems we have. I don't have to worry about walking 8 hours today to try to find some water. I have to worry about whether I'll get too distracted by what I'm working on to take time to drink the water that's already piped into my house. What first world problems we have. And yet we all too often allow ourselves to get wrapped up in worry and fear. Luke 21 verses 14 and 15 and verses 18 and 19. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. But not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. I preach to you tonight in Jesus' name. Don't worry, but listen to the rest of it. Now, I appreciate a good song, and there's a song called Don't Worry, Be Happy, but I just want to drop this little nugget in your heart tonight. There's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness comes from the root word happening. Happiness is when you feel good because the circumstances are good. Joy is when you feel good regardless of the circumstances, because it's not based on happenings. It's based on the goodness of God, and God is always good, even if the circumstances don't seem like they are good. So I'm not telling you tonight, don't worry, be happy. I'm telling you, don't worry, trust in God. Have faith in God's plan for your life and trust that he has plans to give you a hope and a future. One more quote, this time from Elizabeth Elliot, Worry is the antithesis of trust. You simply cannot do both. They are mutually exclusive. Listen to the Lord in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
In case you've just joined us, you're listening to Voice of Truth. I'm Pastor Doug Joseph.
Psalm 121:1-2. I lift up mine eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 112:7. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation hath overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, or I might say it this way, with the testing, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. One last quote, this time from Vance Havner. Worry, like a rocking chair, will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I mentioned to you that I wanted to read a bit from the scriptures about the new birth experience. I want to read to you from John's gospel, and reading there from John 3, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us that a leader of the Pharisees named Nicodemus slipped off to talk to Jesus in the nighttime. And there in his secreted conversation with Jesus, he tried to get Jesus to make an open confession that Jesus was the Messiah. He hinted at it by saying, we really believe that you are come from God. Or in other words, we really believe that you are the Messiah ordained from the Lord, because nobody could do the miracles you do unless God was with him. And in pushing the conversation toward Messiah, Nicodemus was pushing the conversation toward salvation. I love how Jesus will just simply get to the root of the matter. If you want to read another example of him doing it, look at his conversation with the Samaritan woman in the very next chapter of the same gospel. Rather than going with her down rabbit hole after rabbit hole after rabbit hole and arguing through all the minutiae of her dialogue, he simply goes straight to the root of the matter, goes straight to the heart of the matter. He does the same here with Nicodemus. He says this in John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or as it states in the New International Version, of a truth I tell you, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus is reading it as a physical rebirth instead of a spiritual rebirth. I want to tell you that we're not talking about reincarnation here. Jesus is not talking about anything along the lines of physically dying and then physically being born again. He is talking about a spiritual reboot. He's talking about a spiritual restart of your life, where the old you, the old sinful you, the old wicked you, the old you that was wrapped up in transgressions against God and fear and worry and chaos and confusion and anxiousness and doubt, that old you dies. And a new you comes forth in this new birth experience. And so Jesus gave us a couple of the criteria, a couple of the notable aspects of this new birth experience when he answers Nicodemus in John chapter 3. In verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Notice the prophetic reference to the sound that accompanies being born again. Verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit."
In case you've just joined us, you're listening to Voice of Truth. I'm Pastor Doug Joseph.
Now, I want you to remember that there is a sound of wind that accompanies being born of the Spirit. And that wind and that sound eventually becomes the sound of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And regarding the sound that accompanies being born again, Jesus said that it is that way with everyone that is born of the Spirit. Remember what he said about sound and look at Acts chapter 2. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And now, if you'll look with me regarding water and Spirit, look with me when the crowd was astounded, when the crowd heard the speaking with tongues and was gathered around in amazement and asked, what did it mean? The Apostle Peter began to preach to them. He preached to them that the Jewish people, together with the Roman soldiers, had crucified the Lord of glory, had crucified their Messiah, God manifested in flesh. They had crucified that man that the Lord hath made both Lord and Christ, both God and Messiah. The Lord has made this man, Christ Jesus, to be the Messiah foretold in Scripture. And he says in verse 37, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And if you are wrapped up in fear and chaos and sin and confusion tonight, and your heart is pricked or convicted, and you are crying out, "Pastor Joseph, what should I do?" I want to tell you that Christian Apostolic Church is a church founded on the apostles' doctrine, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And the answer you will get from me and from this church is the same answer they got from the apostle Peter on the birthday of the church in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And if you'll allow me to be so bold as to point it out, water baptism in Jesus' name is being born of water. And receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost is being born of the Spirit. I'm preaching to you tonight that if you are not born again, you need to be born again the way the Scriptures describe it. And that is by obeying Acts 2:38. The path for you forward that involves trusting instead of fear is the path of the new birth experience. I'm preaching to you that if you repent of your sins, you can come to us and we will baptize you in water by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And we will pray with you as God fills you with the Holy Ghost. Hear me tonight. I'm being bold. You need to ignore any church that tells you nobody still receives the Holy Ghost. You need to utterly ignore any foolish preacher who tells you that what happened for those believers in the book of Acts no longer happens today. You come too late to tell this church it doesn't still happen. This is a church of people that have been born again the way the Scripture said. We have repented. We have been water baptized in Jesus' name. We have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. I'll never forget it. I repented, was water baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost all on the same night on October 18 of 1984. And God, when God filled me with His Spirit, it felt like lightning had hit me on the top of my head. It went all through me and I heard someone in the distance speaking the most beautiful language I had ever heard. And suddenly I realized, hey, wait a minute, that's me. I'm the one speaking those beautiful words that God is giving. I want to tell you folks, it's the most phenomenal experience that you can have. There is no high from any drugs. There is no inebriation from any alcohol that matches or comes anywhere close to the wonderful experience of receiving the Holy Ghost. I tell you tonight the same thing Jesus said. You must be born again.
In case you've just joined us, you're listening to Voice of Truth. I'm Pastor Doug Joseph.
Amen. Let's stand together. Let's pray that God will give souls for our labor, that those who hear the truth will respond with obedient faith, and that God will give us fruit, that He will give us souls for our labor, that He will give us sheaves of wheat to bring home with rejoicing. Oh God, help us, Lord, to see the waters of baptism troubled with repentant candidates. Help us, Lord, to see hurting souls born again as they repent and are water baptized in your name and filled with your Spirit. Help us, Lord, that we can bring the peace and calm of the kingdom, that calm assurance that comes from trusting you in the midst of chaos. Help us, Lord, that one soul at a time, one heart at a time, we can see this world turned around for your glory. Lord, we understand that not everyone will come. We know you told us that the gate that leads to hell is wide, and the highway that leads from that gate to hell, it's broad. And you told us many there be that go in thereat. And you told us, Lord, that straight or narrow is the gate that leads to life. And the way that goes from that gate that leads to life, it's narrow. And you told us few there be that would find it. And we know, Lord, that most of society probably isn't going to listen. But Lord, for those few that will listen, those few that will walk through that narrow gate and walk on that narrow way, I pray, Lord, help us, Lord Jesus, to be a light to them. Help us, Lord, to be a witness to them. Let our preaching of the gospel go out to every creature. But I pray especially, Lord, to those creatures who are minded to obey. Help us, Lord, that our words will not fall on deaf ears. Give wings to our words, Lord, and help us that the truth will find the hungry soul, for to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. And the words that the world finds hard to take, the hungry soul says, that sounds good to me. That's what I want. Help us, Lord, that we may win the lost for your kingdom, I pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.